korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am solo here, but we have a great show. We have Eric Anders, who just fought Lyoto Machida in Brazil at a main event. He'll be calling in. We also have Phil Baroni, who's doing bare knuckle boxing. I got to talk to him about that. I mean, figures, you know, a guy who's doing bare knuckle boxing like Baroni, he likes it raw all the time. And Darian Caldwell, who I knew was going to be the champion first time I saw him. I was like, dude, this guy's, I saw him wrestle in college, and it'd be Brett Metcalf. I'm like, this guy has something special. I just knew it. I knew it. So they're all going to be on the show. We got a great show. I want to thank our sponsor, Speed Weed. Listen, people, if you partake in marijuana, CBD, vapes, flower, there's only one place to go. That's speedweed.com. They will deliver it to you. You don't have to, I mean, gas is expensive. You can get into an accident. Sometimes you just don't want to, I mean, look, when you order pizza delivered, you don't go to the pizza place and get it. Why should you do that with marijuana? Chinese food? Delivery. Let them deliver to you, all right? You want to relax, have a good night, day, evening, whatever you want, Speedweed will take care of it, okay? The guy Gino is a nice guy. He's a mensch. If you don't know what mensch means, he means he's a swell fellow or girl, fella, or it's not really a fella. Is there a female? He's a good dude, okay? Gino was a great guy. He took in this dog that was like on the 101 that was running around, and now the dog is like loves him. He's a great, great guy. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off any order of $100 or more. So, how am I doing? I'm doing good. I had a show at the Dime Bar on, I did the Laugh Factory last night in Long Beach. I love the Laugh Factory. But before that, I did the Dime Bar, and the Dime Bar is one of the hardest rooms out there. It's just, a lot of people don't even know they're going to see a comedy show before they get there. It's a small audience. It's not really built for comedy. It's a weird shape, but if you could do well there, everything is easier. It's like training with gold medalists or with champions. Okay, when you get to those, you know, you're gonna be when you train with wolves, and then when you come back to the sheep, you're then the wolf of the sheep. So I did a show on Tuesday night, and I'm on stage, and I go up last, and it was cool. I got to work with Flex Alexander, who's a really, really good comic, nice guy too. And I remember watching him in Homeboys in Outer Space back when it was a show on UPN. That's how old I am. I'm gonna be 40. Getting old sucks, by the way, people. But you go from being attractive to being fuckable, or if you weren't attractive before, you're still not attractive. But it's rough. You're getting old. It's hard. It's hard when you get old, because even when I wrestle or do sports, my mind can tell me what I want to do, but my body doesn't follow. But I digress. So I did the show at the Dime Bar, and I'm on stage, and it's like kind of emptying out. It was sort of empty before, and I'm on stage, and this beautiful black woman comes in by herself, young, hot. I mean, just smoking hot, like a 10 out of 10. That's kind of awkward. It's kind of weird when a girl comes by herself to a bar. And said, you know, at that age, a lot of times girls, they travel in packs, or they're with a guy, or, you know, they have that, like, some girls used to have friends that weren't as good looking as them to make them look better, which is like being the best player on the Browns or whatever. But this girl, she came up by herself, and I'm on stage, and I was like, so what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, I'm here. I have a date. So now everyone's tuned in. There's about 20 people there. And they're like, oh, but mostly a lot of comics. And I was like, oh, who's your date with? She's like, well, I haven't met him yet. I'm like, all right, right. I'm like, well, Bumble, Tinder, WorldStar, SoulSwipe, Farmers Only. Where did you meet? She's like, well, no, actually, on Instagram. Now, that's a baller thing. A lot of guys now, they're meeting girls. They're going on their Instagram pages, and they're liking their things. And then they sign into the DMs, and that's how they're meeting. Me, I miss that. I'm a married man now, but that's what I hear. What's her guy? But she's like, well, oh, I'm like, oh, you know, was this guy creeping on your Instagram? She's like, no, I was creeping on his. So right away, like, if this girl is creeping on him, I'm like, okay, what team does he play for? And everyone starts laughing, and she's like, well, actually, he used to play football. Now he's an actor and a model. I'm like, is it OJ? So now I have the whole crowd laughing and guessing what football player. And I'm saying like Emmitt Smith, Ed Tuttle Jones, I don't even, Christian Okoye. I don't even watch football anymore. So, but I'm naming people that Altoon, who used to be on the Jets, but she wouldn't give up that information, right? So then I was like, well, what do you do? She's like, well, I'm a dancer. I'm like, in Atlanta? She's like, yeah, how did you know? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, for the Hawks. I'm like, well, you are a Hawk. You actually swooped this guy up. So now I'm like, well, the guy you're dating, is he white or black? And she's like, oh, he's black. I'm like, well, it's Tuesday night. I'm like, he'll be here on a Wednesday. That people loved it. I didn't actually stutter it when I said it, but people were just going crazy. And so, but then, you know, we're going back and forth. And finally, I was hoping the guy would show up. He didn't, right? So later that night, Eve Edwards went on. I'm sitting here with Eve and his girlfriend and my friend Gumbo, who's a comic. And of course, this guy walks in. And I just, this huge guy, good-looking guy. I'm like, I guarantee that's the guy, right? So I go to my friend Gumbo's like, yo, that guy used to play for the whatever. So I followed the girl on Instagram and then looked at his Instagram and see that she was following him. So I was like, oh, well, I'll tell him she left. So I go up to this football player who's like with two of his friends, this huge guy. And I'm like, so that girl, you're here to see, what's your name? And he's like, I was talking about you. I was the comedian at the comedy show. And because the place had turned into a bar now. He didn't even know that. He looked at me like I was insane. And it was kind of awkward. Eve was dying laughing. And then I just kind of moonwalked back to my seat. So that was on Tuesday night, but it was good. I happen to like the dime bar. I like getting better. I like running it. It's hard and annoying sometimes. I book about 20 comics a week, and they're always asking me, like, you know, I'll give the guy the light, and they're like, is that the light? You know that was the light. People are always blowing the light, or when they have a bad set, comics are always like, thanks for letting me work stuff out. I'm like, dude, do that on your time. Work stuff out. This is a fucking... I'm trying to get people to come every week. It's not. I mean, I understand if you're gonna do new material, which you always want to throw in new material, sandwich it under material that already works, put in the new material, and then close out with something that works. That's what pros do, or most pros. I mean, obviously, if you're Chris Rock or Chappelle or someone else, where you've earned the right to just show up anywhere you want with a notepad. But the problem with LA comics is they see that and they all think they can do that, and then they bomb, and then the crowd is running for their lives, and then they say to me, sir, thanks for letting me work stuff out. Well, fucking, I'm going to work this out in therapy now, or at least a podcast. So anyway, so that was good. And then what else is going on? Let's talk about MMA, right? Big day in MMA today. Turned out so... We had Frankie Edgar on last week, on Monday, and now Conor McGregor is saying he offered to step in and save the card, but the UFC told him no because they couldn't afford him. That has to be the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. First of all, when is Dana White going to say no? Was there an offer? Like, did the offer actually be made? Who did they contact? Like, this, the whole thing just sounds... And then you got Ali Abdulaziz going crazy, saying that, you know, he's going nuts now, saying that Conor's scared of Frankie, and he called him a hooker that nobody wants to fuck anymore because she's old. First of all, that's not true. I know plenty of guys that will still fuck old hookers. Number two, let's not kid ourselves. McGregor is still the biggest draw in MMA. I mean, he's the biggest draw, hands down, by a lot. However, that being said... Either you fight or you don't fight. You don't say, well, I offered it, but then they didn't give me the... Then you didn't offer it then. You didn't... I mean, either you do it or you don't. And if you don't... it's a weird thing to say. I offered it, but then they said they couldn't afford me. Like, what? And that's how I'm interpreting it. I know I'm going to get McGregor fans telling me, that's not what happened, and DMing me and telling me something else, and whatever. That's how I took it. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot. I'm wrong a lot. I'll admit I'm wrong a lot. That's the problem with the world right now, and social media in particular, is you got people that are so on the right. Let's take gun control as an issue. And then you got people that are so on the left, and they're arguing back and forth, right? They're screaming. The extreme sides are screaming. Now, I could see both sides, okay? I could see both sides. I definitely would, err on the side of... You know, more gun control, obviously, you know, raising the age and doing more background checks and getting rid of semi-automatic weapons. And yeah, but I could see people saying, well, in order to stop a bad guy with a gun, you need a good guy with a gun. I could see that side as well. But I could understand both opinions. So I don't really have like a fucking, you know, this is the only way. The problem is that some comics do, and then those are the ones that are being heard. And because, I don't know, I'm in the middle in a lot of areas. But anyway, so I don't know. I'm excited about being a dad. That's pretty awesome. We're having a daughter. Super happy about that. Nervous because I'm on the road a lot, so I got to figure out how to stay in town more. You know, my wife and I, we went to go see the ultrasound. I had missed the first two ultrasound because I was away. So we're sitting there with the nurse, and we're looking at the baby, and my wife is like, Adam is seeing the baby for the first time, which obviously doesn't make me feel good. So I was like, well, yeah, I had to make sure that it was mine. And then my wife's embarrassed. Like, he's a comedian. You know, that's you know, whatever. It was. She laughed, thank God. And my wife, my God puts up with me. Valentine's Day was fun. We're going to San Diego this weekend because I know I'm not Yamasaki. I didn't realize it was last week, but I was away in Houston. So now I got her trips. And then she got me tickets to go see Tony, Casey, and JoJo, as well as Color Me Bad. I can Tony, I'm actually probably the most excited about. Color Me Bad, they had a couple hits. And Casey and JoJo, the All My Life song I like a lot. You know, I can't get into these. Some people can put on, I mean, Machine Gun Kelly put on a great show. But a lot of these, like I went to go see, not new, but Ja Rule and Ashanti. Obviously, it's a very old concert. But they put on a great show, Ashanti especially. That girl could sing her ass off and very entertaining. But Ray J opens up and he does like, I don't know, two songs. He's got like 10 hot dancers that kind of saved him. But then he has these scooters on stage that he was selling. Like, it was his, called Raycon. And he's like, yo, Raycon. And he was rapping about selling these scooters. I'm like, is this what it's come to now? Really? We're selling scooters? Is that what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go on stage with a sewing machine and do all my jokes about that and offer to sell it? I mean, really? This is a fucking, we were at the Novo Theater. It's a big place. This is what you're selling fucking scooters from the stage. Come on. Anyway, what else in MMA news? So Chuck Liddell versus Ortiz. There's rumblings this might happen. Ortiz said he wants to do it in the UFC. Please don't do this. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Really? I mean, it's going to take him 8 weeks to walk to the octagon. There's going to have a ramp. I mean, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have like, what are we doing? They're going to be, the corner is going to be the three wise men. I mean, why are we doing this? I'm still going to watch it. Yes, I'll watch it. Of course I'll watch it. I'll be happy to watch it. I'll probably enjoy it. So Derek Brunson and Bisping are going back and forth. Brunson wants to make that fight. Bisping does not. You know, I understand. Look, it makes sense on paper. Bisping's coming off two losses. You know, Derek Brunson's coming off a loss. Both have gotten knocked out. Both of them are top 10 guys. Why not? And but I don't know. I think Bisping probably has more to lose in that fight. If Brunson loses, maybe Brunson's got more to lose because it'll probably be Bisping's last fight. And then, you know, where does Brunson, if he beats him, so what? He beats a guy who's now retired. Personally, I don't know what Bisping has to prove to anybody. The guy has done it all. I mean, you look at all the guys he's fought. He fought the top guys. He never got busted for anything other than being a dick sometimes, but that, whatever. He's fought the best guys in their prime. Half of them were juicing. Actually, I don't know, 75% of them were busted for steroids. He's a good guy. He's a good father, a good husband, a good role model, a good actor. What does he have to do? But these guys can't go out with a loss. For some reason, they just can't do it. And then when they win, they think they still have it. It's a double-edged sword. But that Gastelum knockout was rough to watch. That was really, really rough to watch. By the way, Gastelum tweeted that he'd like to fight Colby Covington. That'd be a good fight, a really good fight, actually. And that's the weight class where Gastelum should be at. At 85, people were saying Jacare versus Gastelum, or I don't know, Romero versus Gastelum. Come on. This is where weight classes do matter, and especially Kelvin. So, yeah, so that's what I'm we're talking about right now. It's going to be a good fight, though. What's going to be a good fight? This weekend's going to be a good card, actually. I'm looking forward to the whole card. You know, you got Josh Emmett versus who the fuck is that guy? Jeremy Stevens. that's going to be a good fight. But I still get annoyed that Emmett missed weight by like 4 pounds when he knocked out Ricardo. Ricardo, he knocked out, you know, we all know who, yeah. That bothers me. That does bother me. Because Ricardo Lamas, because if you miss weight by 4 pounds and then you know how I feel about this. I don't have to keep beating a fucking dead horse. But I do want to thank our sponsors. So listen, people, even if you got a fat lip from a fight, you can still pack a fat lip with Black Buffalo. Black Buffalo is the only tobacco-free alternative dip that delivers the same experience as traditional smokeless products, just without any tobacco leaf or stem. The taste, the texture, the rich dark color, and yeah, the nicotine. So you can keep the ritual but ditch the tobacco. How great is that? Black Buffalo makes tobacco-free long cut and pouches in the flavors of wintergreen, mint, and straight. They sell 2-packs, 5-packs, and merchandise exclusively on their website with free shipping. Head to blackbuffalo.com and use the code ROASTED50 for 50% off your first order. I'm telling you guys, listen, just go to blackbuffalo.com, use the code ROASTED50. That's ROASTED50 for half off your first order. I know a lot of our listeners, they like dipping, they like packing a dip. And you know, I used to dip when I was younger. I still do sometimes. And when I do dip, I do it with Black Buffalo. So definitely check it out. Also, listen, be a dandy. Do you feel embarrassed buying condoms at the grocery store? I hate doing that. You go there, you got some people behind you, maybe you have like a nun behind you or an ex-girlfriend or someone else, or it's just the store guy judges you. Everyone judges you. And have you ever been stuck in that moment at 2 o'clock in the morning alone because you forgot to buy condoms? That's the worst. You finally get the girl that you like to want to have sex with you. She's ready to go. You're ready to go. And bam, nothing. No condoms. Do you hate going out of your way to buy condoms? I do. But guess what? We have solved that. Because how many times would you have sealed the deal only if you had a condom handy? Be a dandy. Yes, beadandy.com. I'm telling you, don't get a handy, be a dandy. You never run out. It's less expensive than buying them at the store, and shipping is discreet. It doesn't have a huge box to say, condoms. Let's say you get the condom purchase without the weird, awkward moment. I can't tell. I mean, there are times that there was a girl I used to like so much, and I finally got her back at my place, and then she was like, "Do you have a condom?" I'm like, "No," and then it was over. And then you can't get those moments back sometimes. Sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't. You know, you meet a girl on vacation, or you know it's a one-time thing, or the girl's in the mood, and you're in the mood, and bam, you got nothing, no protection. And who knows, and then you turn on the TV, it's some, you know, herpes medication infomercial, and it's even more kills the mood. So you can order online at beadandy.com/podcast. That's /podcast. Beadandy.com/podcast. That's beadandy.com/podcast. And you get 50% off the starter pack because we love you here and we want to see our listeners get laid. This is $3 for your first order, which includes 6 condoms. And then $6 a month. And listen, people, if you have a condom subscription, you will get laid more. Trust me, it's a scientific fact. So anyway, married life is good, people. I am happy. You know, I was, for a while, it was like, I lived that, you know, player lifestyle and it was fun. But, you know, I finally met someone that I love and that I'm happy with. And that's huge because so many people, they settle, you know. It's like everything is set up for you. You're like, okay, you know, at 18, I got to do well in high school so I can get into a good college. And then you get into a good college, you want to get good grades. You don't even know what you want to do. You just want good grades. And then you're like, oh, I got to make money. So you do a job that you don't even really like, but you need the money and you think it's good. And then you're like, oh, my friends are all getting married. I got to get married. So you like pick a chick and you give yourself a 2-month window for that, and then, oh, we gotta have a kid because everyone else has kids, and before you know it, you got a kid that you don't like or that you like, but you got a wife that you just kind of cast and a job. You know, it's a trap, okay? There's no timeline for happiness. But if you actually Give yourself a chance to meet someone you like and wait and actually explore different options and get the shit out of your system. That's also important too. Like even that girl that came to my show said she's with that guy all through college. Her first boyfriend, he makes the NFL and then he cheats on her. Fuck that. First of all, guys, if you're with a chick who's with you when you're out and down and out, stay with her when you actually make it. I understand that those options were not available to you before. But still, do the right thing or convince her to have threesomes. But don't leave her because it's fucked up. I see a lot of guys do that. They finally get famous and they're like, oh, well, you know, I never had that before. But the thing is to get it out of your system beforehand. That's the thing to do. Go out, get laid, have fun, and get it out. Just get it out of your system, okay? So that when you're, you know, 40, you don't have a fucking midlife crisis and then just want to go fuck the babysitter or whoever. And I understand it. I'm not trying to be preachy. I'm not saying it's easy. Trust me. There are times that, like, you know, chicks are like, hey, what are you doing later? What are you doing? But when are you going back to the hotel? But I know what I got. You don't give up your mansion for a weekend in Vegas. Because that weekend in Vegas is going to end. And your mansion, if it's paid for, and you're doing good upkeep, you'll be able to have the mansion for a long time. But you got to be with the right person. That's and the person doesn't have to be perfect. You know, a lot of times that me and my wife, you know, we have different agreements, but that's part of life. You can't, you know, trust me. I tried dating girls that were fighters, and I'm not going to name names. But, you know, we would talk about fighting all the time, and I would drive the person crazy. You know, you think that someone has to have all your common interests. Not true. A lot of times, you're better off. My wife likes to watch the Kardashians. I fucking see it, and I'm like, what is going on? How did this be made? Why are people watching this? But I like to watch boxing, and my wife doesn't really like to watch boxing. I mean, she'll watch it with me, but she doesn't really like to watch it. I could tell she wouldn't be. That would not be her first choice of watching, you know, LFA on Friday nights and listening to Pat Miletich, who, by the way, is a brilliant guy. Very underrated commentator is Pat Miletich. Does not get the credit he deserves. I don't know why the UFC doesn't bring in Pat Miletich. I mean, maybe he's getting paid for the LFA and that's where he wants to be, but these other guys that they're bringing in from the WWE or whoever these guys are, it's just, you can just tell they don't really know the sport. They know how to broadcast. They can be efficient. They do a fine job. It's fine. It gets by. But Pat Miletich knows what the fuck he's talking about. In fact, a lot of times, his card means a lot more to me than the judge's card. And he doesn't always agree with him. In fact, he doesn't a lot of times. And if I was a fighter, I'd almost care more about what Pat Miletich thinks than what these three bonehead judges. And when are we going to get better fucking judges, by the way? Enough is enough. I mean, how stupid is this? Where do they find these judges? And send them back. Anyway, what are we talking about? Women, sex, drugs, getting laid. Whatever you need to talk to about me, I'm here for you guys, okay? I am here for you. I fucking love doing MMA Roasted. I love touring the world, doing comedy. And by the way, next week, I will be at the Vegas at the Dirty at 30 Comedy Club. So the show starts at 12:30. And it's in Vegas, and I'll tell you exactly. A lot of times I like forget things, and then I just remember that I forgot it. So like I like it's just anyway. The Dirty at 30 comedy show in Las Vegas is at the fucking Point. Oh God, what is wrong with me? I'm gonna look at it, and then I'm gonna be like at the South Point. I knew there was a Point there. The South Point. South Point Casino. It's a really good show. I will be there Friday night. Saturday, I'm going to go to the fights. I got tickets to the Frankie Edgar fight. Although, I sometimes think that I might get called into work at the comedy show, and then I'm going to be like, oh, maybe I should go to the comedy show because would these athletes miss their work for my show? And the answer is going to be no. But it's always the way it is, man. It's always the way it is. It's always when you can't do something, people want to give you shit. I'm not always, but even like with auditions, I would stay in town in LA for I don't know, months at a time, never get a fucking audition. As I'm driving to the airport is when the phone rings. Hey, can you be here? I'm like, I almost wanted to just drive to the airport and pretend I was leaving and just try to like manipulate the audition gods of the world to get me stuff. But what am I complaining about? What am I complaining about? So I'm going to call my boy Eric Anders now. This dude, you talk about a winner. A guy played for Alabama. He actually like led the team in the finals. In like tackles. This dude is a monster. He got picked up by the NFL. And then after that, he didn't make the NFL or the CFL. And he's like, I want to be a fighter. And then like a couple years later, he's fighting on Fox as the main event. There's a guy who you want to emulate right there, guys. There's a guy for all the people that like, we always talk about the wasted talent, the guys that could have been, the guys that should have been. There's a guy who does. I mean, who the fuck picks up a pro sport at like age 22 and makes it in the by 24 or 5 or whatever, I don't know how old he is, but it makes the main event. It doesn't happen that often, if ever. But this dude believes in himself. He had a wife that believed in him too. His wife, as I'm clear, told him to quit his job at UPS or whatever, and to actually become a pro fighter. That's a girl right there. I mean, my wife did that kind of similar too. There were times I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just go back to college. Maybe this is not working. And my wife's like, no, don't you dare. Okay. You're too good to quit. That's the kind of chick you need. A ride or die bitch. And I say bitch in a very, very nice, endearing term, but that's what you need. Cause there are so many girls out there. I remember Bill Burr did a joke about that. How like, fame and women, and it's like, especially in Hollywood, or it's really anywhere, but it's like you're running a marathon by yourself and nobody's with you, and then you finally get to what, 26.7 miles, and you finish the line. And I'm fucking up Bill Burr's joke, but he tells it a lot better than I did. But you finally get in and everyone's like, we did it. Where the fuck were you at mile 6 or 7, or when I was shitting my pants at mile 14? Where were you? And that's what this fucking business is, man. A bunch of people want to claim the credit for you when you're the one doing all the fucking work. But they all knew. But you know what? You know, those are your fans or those are your people. But I don't know. Your fans are the people actually that are with you when you got nothing going, or when you're trying, when you're doing comedy in laundromats like I was, and supermarkets and donut shops, and getting booed off stage. And the ones that are saying, keep it up, keep your head up. Those are your fans. Those are the ones you want to be around. And the ones that have said you could have done better. Like, hey, that you kind of sucked tonight. The guys that tell you, when everyone else is telling you how funny you are, and your friends are like, hey, you could have done this joke better, or that was good, but I've seen that. Those are the people you want to keep around. Not the negative Nancys, because then you have those people that always hate on you. And I'm not talking about that. I'm about the people that actually tell you when, you know, because you're going to have a lot of yes men. I'm sure Eric Anders is probably already experienced that. You know, he loses to Machito, which I thought he won, and most people in the press thought he won. But a lot of people they can't wait to jump on the next train of, yeah, you know, we did it together, we did it, blah, 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 because they want to be there, but fuck. You know, it's like people say everyone wants to be a fighter, but nobody wants to go to wrestling practice. That's pretty true. You got to go to wrestling practice, people, okay? It sucks. Trust me, I've been to millions of them. They're hard, but you got to do it. There's no way around it. So I hear that CM Punk is getting another fight in the UFC. I am adamantly opposed to this. I don't think he deserves another fight in the UFC. I don't think he deserved the first fight in the UFC. And I understand that he has a dream to do it, and he's working really hard and yada, yada, yada. But he didn't have an amateur career. He never had a pro fight. He didn't have to work for it. He's there because of his popularity in another sport. And you know what? They have fantasy baseball camp. They have a thing where you could pretend to be a baseball player. And you go there and you pay money. And then you could, you know, play baseball with Reggie Jackson. And you could act like you. And that's what they should have. A fantasy MMA camp. Where they have Chuck Liddell and other guys. And Art Jimerson could wear his glove. And I could pretend to be a fighter. But you shouldn't just be able to buy your way into the UFC, which is essentially what he did. And I understand why. It's not his fault. It's really the UFC's fault for letting him do it. And I understand it's a business. Well, fucking, okay, fine. But there's ethics in business. Some businesses have ethics, and some don't. And, you know, I tend to think that I want to be part of the ones that do. But I don't know. So I'm going to call Eric Anders right now, my friend. He came to my show, and then he sent me a T-shirt that says, "Ya boy," which was fucking cool. I wear it with pride. And he's a good guy. And he's got a good team. Hangs out with a bunch of Alabama guys. And I like him. So we're going to call him right now. See if he picks up. Boom. Hey, is this Eric Anders?
Yeah, speaking, man.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, ain't nothing much, man. Just hanging out. Just bringing the kids home from a little jiu-jitsu practice.
Oh, nice. How old is your son?
One's 8, one's 6.
Nice. By the way, thanks for coming to my comedy show in Fresno, man. That was really cool.
Nah, dog. We had a blast, man. It was funny.
That was amazing. And by the way, thanks for the shirt, by the way, because that was I love the Eric Anders, your boy shirt. It's
hey, man. Appreciate it.
So how are you? Yeah, it was great, man. It was awesome. So how are you feeling, man? You're coming off your biggest fight, which was in Brazil. A lot of people had you winning. I thought you won. 16 out of 24 people in the press thought you won. What did you think?
After going back and watching the fight, you know, I think that I took rounds 2, 3, and 4. You know, he got one. I think one was the most obvious. 5, you know, wasn't a whole lot of action at all until the very end. So, you know, I think I clearly won 2, 3, and 4. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to go out there and get finishes and not just, you know, kind of dance around in front of each other for a little bit.
Now, a guy like that, it just probably is so hard to train for because it's hard to get guys to bring in that are going to emulate that, right?
I mean, I don't think he just did more of what, I don't know, man. He was moving so much, and I was just like, man, is this dude ever gonna like sit down on a punch or, you know, do anything? So, I think I should just be more active, and we wouldn't even be having this discussion, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why you're a champion, though, because a lot of guys that I talk to are like, "Hey, no way, I lost that fight. This is bullshit. You know, the world's against me." But you're like,
yeah.
But you're like, I think I should have been more active, which shows you why you are where you are.
I mean, if at the end of a 5-round fight, you know, it looks like you're just getting warmed up to fight. You know, that's obviously, you know, an output issue on my end, you know. So, and I think that's the biggest reflection of things away from the fight is to, you know, go.
How was your cardio? Because this is your first 5-round fight. Were you feeling tired at all?
No, this is my second 5-round fight. I fought once 5 rounds in LFA before I got to the UFC. I felt great after the fight. You know, like I said, you know, my legs weren't tired, my lungs weren't burning, you know. I had good sweat going, obviously. You know, it's nice and humid down there, but, you know, I wasn't breathing hard at all.
Now, I was telling people, like, before you picked up, that you really have the championship mentality of a guy who went as far as you did in football, tried out for the NFL, didn't make the NFL, or did make it, but didn't, you know, make it how you wanted to make it, CFL. Then you're starting a brand new sport in your 20s, and before you know it, you're headlining a Fox card, a main event. I mean, I know you're not where you want to be, but you still have to look back and be like, man, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's just, I'm definitely on the right track, heading in the right direction. It just shows you what hard work, you know, and that blue-collar mentality will get you, you know. Nothing's ever come easy to me. I've had to work for everything, so, you know, I just appreciate that.
No, I was really happy for you. And you know what's weird? Like, even though you didn't get the W, I still feel like your stock rose in a way because you didn't look bad. Like, obviously, you didn't get that crazy first-round knockout that I thought you were going to get, but it's not like you got beat up or hurt. Do you kind of feel that way?
I mean, he didn't really touch me with nothing but his big toe. So, I was fine after the fight. You know, he's the one who looked like, he wore it, definitely.
Yeah. Was it now the whole process of going to Brazil, fighting in front of Brazilians, having them boo you, how did they treat you during the week before and after the fight?
Oh, man, no, they were awesome. The week of the fight, even, like, at the arena, I really didn't get the, I really didn't feel the hostility in there. Now, what I've been told is that just because we're in Belém and, they're real nice and peaceful in Belém, but Rio or Sao Paulo would be totally different. So, if I could jump on that Rio card at the, in June, that'd be great.
Oh, you actually want to fight back in Brazil?
Yeah, I'll go back to Brazil, man. I don't care, obviously, the mentality I'm going in there with. So, it should be a fun fight every time I fight in Brazil.
Did your wife and kids come with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My wife, she goes to all the fights.
Now, what did she say to you? This is the first time you lost. Was she crying? Was she upset? Did she hit you? What happened?
Nah. Hell nah. she was just, she don't cry. I don't know. She thought I won the fight as well. So, at the end of the fight, I was kind of like, man, I really don't know, how that fight went. Because during the fight, it's hard for me to be like, this is what happened in this round. And, for me to remember round by round. So.
Right.
Fighting forward. So, and she was kind of, pissed off that so.
What did
you're definitely on my side.
What did Dana say to you?
Dana? Oh, I ain't spoke to Dana. Dana ain't saying nothing.
Afterwards of the UFC, did you feel like they were happy with the performance? Were they kind of like upset about it? Did they want more action? Did you get any kind of vibe?
I didn't get any negative vibes. I think, people were on the whole, he's went five rounds in a real close fight with the legend type thing at that particular moment. So, I think that night, everybody was, pleased. I don't think I lost any, move down or anything like that. But, I don't know. We'll see.
Did you ever land? Did you ever hurt him during the fight? Did you ever feel like, wow, I can't believe he just took that punch?
Man, during the fight?
Yeah.
You're asking? Yeah, every time I hit him, I thought that was going to be it. In that second round, he kicked me, and I hit him with the left. I thought he was on the way out then. And every time I hit him, I thought he was still getting knocked out, Dropped him in the third or fourth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely had my fight.
Did his breath smell like urine?
Nah, fortunately, we didn't get face-to-face.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Thank you.
Now, I know that your mom is in the military. Was she upset? Was she like, did she make you do push-ups or anything afterwards? Or what did your parents say?
My mom was cool, man. She really doesn't know what's going on. She just kind of, looks in my face after the fight. That lets you know if I did good or not.
That's cool. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're not taking it that hard, man. I mean, this is your first loss. I wasn't sure how you would take it. It sounds like you're just kind of like, all right, next.
I mean, it is what it is. I have a 24-hour rule, 24 hours to celebrate a win, 24 hours to get over a loss. So, it is what it is. Time to push forward. Ain't no point, just kind of hanging out on a loss. So,
right.
I'm anxious to get back in. Hopefully, late April, May, June time frame, and
got it.
Meet somebody else.
Anybody that you want in particular?
Man, I just had elbow surgery, so that's the first and foremost. I don't have anybody on my mind or anything like that. But closer, the fight comes, then the better it feels. Once I think I'm ready to fight and I can actually call out somebody and they can accept the fight, then, we'll definitely do that.
Now, I got a baby daughter on the way. I know that you have two kids.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
What kind of gun you going with?
What kind of gun? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any advice on being a parent?
Man, I just, you know, I wouldn't recommend like being like a hover parent, you know. I got two boys, so maybe it's a little bit different, but, you know, I let them fall on their head, you know. I let them fall on their face and let them learn the lesson that way, you know. I warned you, you didn't listen, so, you know.
All right.
Now you need stitches.
Nice. Tough love. So just fucking give them tough love.
Yeah.
Now this week, we got Josh Emmett versus Jeremy Stephens, UFC Orlando. Who do you like in that fight?
Man, I'm going to go with Emmett. I mean, he's a pretty big, you know, for that weight class, and he hits hard. And, you know, it'll be fun to see, though. I think he'll take it, though.
Somebody's
going to sleep.
Jessica Andrade versus Tisha Torres.
Who's that?
Tisha Torres versus Jessica Andrade.
I'm going with Jessica Andrade. I think that she's too big, too strong. She's going to walk through her punches. Tisha Torres, you know, her footwork has looked really good here these last few fights. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe she, you know, points her up from the outside. So, you know, and I think Andrade, you know, she's pretty well rounded too, though.
OSP versus Ailir Latifi.
I'm gonna go with OSP, man. He's, you know, he's a pretty athletic dude. You know, with those punches from awkward angles, and he can knock you out from there. So, you know, I'm gonna go OSP.
I mean, if he gets that that Von Fluke choke again, I'm just like, come on. That's going to be ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, it's over.
Fuck. And then Mike Perry versus Max Griffin.
Man, let's go with Mike Perry, man. I think he's going to have a little extra motivation. I think he's from Orlando, so if he's fighting in his hometown, then he'll have a little extra fire lit up under his ass. So I'm going to go with Michael.
Now, are you a Mike Perry fan? I feel like sometimes he's very controversial. He just... You know, he's very loud, very abrasive.
Man, I don't think anything in MMA is, like, controversial, you know. You can't tell somebody how to act or, you know, that's just them or whatever, you know, as long as it's genuine. I think Mike Perry's funny. I don't know him personally, but, you know, the little sound bites and, you know, stuff that he says that, you know, I catch on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot, you know. I think he's funny, so.
He is funny.
Yeah. And he comes to fight, and he gets in there and, you know, likes to bang, so, you know, I can appreciate that.
Now, I started the show by saying that talking about Conor McGregor saying he offered to fight Frankie Edgar and fill in, but he said the money wasn't right, or the UFC said that they couldn't afford him. Then you didn't really offer to fight him, right?
I mean, Conor's in the position to name his price, I feel like. So, you know, maybe he did say, yeah, I'll fight him, but this is what I want. And, you know, they didn't give it to him, so whatever. Conor McGregor likes to stir the pot anyway, so, you know, I kind of take everything that he said with a grain of salt.
Now, do you think Brian T. City is going to take Frankie Edgar? Who do you like in that fight?
I don't know, man. He struggled with Chad Mendez on 2 days on 2 weeks' notice. But Frankie gets dropped a lot. I don't know. That's a tough one to call. I think Frankie will, you know, tire him out and eventually subdue him, though.
You think Frankie beats Conor McGregor, but what about Frankie versus Brian Ortega?
Man, Frankie's a vet. You know, he comes to fight. He's shown that he can wear it. I guess Brian Ortega has, too. I think Frankie's going to beat Brian Ortega.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope
many ways to win. Now, and on the, you know.
Now, don't you think that Conor should be stripped of his belt because he's not fighting?
I mean, if he hasn't defended it and, you know, there's no, like, medical issue or nothing like that, then, you know, let's move on.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And then now they're talking about Tito Ortiz is going to fight Chuck Liddell again. Would you watch this?
Where at?
Bellator, the old age home, or I don't know, Denny's at 5 o'clock. I mean, would you watch this fight?
Yeah, probably. Just because, you know, I like Chuck Liddell, man. I think the last thing to go is power. So, you know, I think he'll still be able to let him ride for at least a round.
Yeah. Now, how much longer do you think you're going to fight for? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Ideally, you know, I want to be done with it, you know, by the time I'm 35. I'll be 31 in April, so, you know, I kind of want to get in, do what I want to do, do what I'm going to do in the sport, and, you know, keep it moving.
Then what?
I don't know, man. Me and my wife, we're you know, trying to develop little different streams of revenue. So who knows what I'll have by then. You know, eventually, you know, I'd like to open up my own gym, my own spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, train kids and adults out of there, too.
And don't you have, like, your own CBD oil or something?
Yeah. I'm rocking with Infinite CBD, and we've come out with my own little line of it. So
now,
you can go on infinitecbd.com and check it out, man.
Now, is that like legal, or is that illegal as far as like, or is that against USADA? Is that everything cool?
Nah, just January 1st of this year, it became legal.
Oh, good.
All the way.
Good.
You know, they got that in-competition, out-of-competition testing, so, you know, it was good for out-of-competition, now it's good for in-competition as well.
Yeah, because I use CBD oil all the time. It relaxes me, it helps me after workouts. You know, I think CBD is great. I'm a huge fan of it, so.
It's good for reduce inflammation, to help reduce the stuff that causes CTE and dementia and whatnot.
Yeah, you guys got.
You know, it's an awesome product.
Are you guys done with kids? Are you guys done with kids? Or you guys want to have more kids?
I think it's over with, man. We got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. Man, I don't think either one of us could just do the infant stage again. Maybe if the stork could drop off like a 3-year-old, we would take it. But as far as babies and changing diapers and crying and all that, nah, we good on that.
Now, I was talking about also guys sometimes, you know, they're with their girl before they make it, then all of a sudden all these chicks come out of nowhere, and then a lot of times these guys leave their girl or they cheat or whatever. You're a very good looking guy, you're a pro fighter. How do you deflect all the pussy that gets thrown your way?
Listen, bro, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be fine. I'd be sitting at a desk working if it wasn't for my wife. So, you know, there's nothing that nobody on this planet can offer me, you know, that she doesn't do for me. So, you know, it wouldn't even be worth the trade, you know. So,
but what do you do? Like, a girl comes up to you, right?
I'm not gonna fuck up what I got going on.
But let's say you're at the gym, right? And then some girl goes, oh, hey, look at you, your boy. You want a quick BJ? I mean, what do you say?
Hell no, I hit a spin move on her ass to keep it moving, man. Stiff arm her. I'm the hell no.
You actually stiff arm?
I got a good thing going, man. My wife, she is, you know, she is the unicorn. She's good looking, you know, she's very intelligent. You know, she cooks, she cleans, she does everything. So I'm not going to ruin what I got going on in my crib over her.
Plus, you got it all out of your system at, like, Alabama, right? I mean, you probably ran a train on chicks. It was like you and all those... hot white girls in Alabama, right? And were Mexican or Latin, whatever they were.
I mean, back in the day, that's a different story.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, so you could, but you.
I got all that out of my system.
Right. I mean, after games, were girls just coming up to you and they were like, "Oh my God, you have so many tackles," and it was like one BJ for every tackle.
That's a pretty close calculation.
Wow! Damn! Fuck! Now, when they recruited you to play for Alabama on your recruiting trip, with the guys, because I remember wrestling, when I got recruited to wrestle at Binghamton, they were throwing chicks at me, going, "Hey, is that how it was in Alabama?"
I mean, I definitely had a different recruiting experience than some of those other high profile guys. I just kind of came in, signed my scholarship, and took it back to the house, hung out for a little bit, and.
Nice.
Drove on back to Texas. Flew back. I guess I flew. Yeah, we flew. So, you know,
I signed
2 weeks before camp started. So.
Wow. Well, look, man.
All the other guys, they get their time with, have them come down in the spring to the spring game. You know, they get a little bit different treatment.
So, where can people find you on social media and stuff?
Man, you can get at me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Eric Anders, E-R-Y-K-A-N-D-E-R-S.
Eric, man, I can't thank you enough, dude. I'm a fan for life, and thanks for everything, man.
Hey, nah, brother, I appreciate it, man. Love the show. Love your stand-up. Keep rocking, man.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Have a good one.
That was your boy, Eric Anders. Fucking class act right there. Nice guy, class act, great athlete. Just that dude is just, he's the truth, man. That guy, he's just, they don't make him better than that guy. All right, so I'm calling Darian Caldwell, the Bellator champion. We'll see if he picks up the phone. Hopefully he does. And if he does, that'll be great. Because,
Hello?
Hello, is this Darion Caldwell?
Who's it?
This is Adam Hunter from MMA Roasted. What's going on, man?
What up, Adam?
How are you doing, man?
Doing, man. Just literally just heading up to the gym right now. What are you up to?
I'm just doing the MMA Roasted podcast, and I was just telling everybody listening how when the first time I saw you fight Brett Metcalf, I was blown away. And then I saw you were in Bellator, and I'm like, this guy is going to be the champ. And now here you are, 2 years later, the champ of the world. Congratulations, man.
I appreciate that, man. That's what's up. I already know, man.
I knew it. I was like, this dude, he has all the intangibles, and the guy's a winner. And a lot of people were sleeping on you. Do you feel like you're finally getting the respect you deserve?
Yeah, no. You know, anytime. I just feel like the whole, on a grand scheme of things, the MMA community as a whole don't really have enough or as much respect for Bellator as an organization, you know? And I don't think an organization, you know, the fact that you're in the UFC or you're in Bellator or you're in, you know, RFL should be okay, be decided on who's the best guy, you know? I'm all for, you know, emerging, you know, companies to fight each other, you know, because I want to make it clear that I'm the best bantamweight in the world, and to be completely honest.
No, I think that you give anybody a problem. I think that you beat anybody, actually. But do you think that Bellator sometimes is that to themselves when they put on, you know, Heather Hardy versus whoever, or, you know, Ken Shamrock versus Art Jimerson's 12, or, you know, stuff like that, that's why? Or do you think it's just in general because it's just...
I just think it's in general because the UFC does a... they've been around so long, you know, like, on the grand scheme of things, you look at the UFC, like, all right, this is like the NFL of MMA, you know? And so anybody who's the UFC champ is the best guy in the world, which I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either. I think that, you know, obviously you, I think that the Pitbull brothers, I think that what's his name, Mike Chandler does well against anybody. You can go up and down the line and be like, you know what, these guys, you know, now Rory McDonald has a win over Tyron Woodley, you know. He has a loss to Wonder Boy who Tyron beat twice. But yeah, so I mean, absolutely. Now, do you think the difference between your career, though, has been going over to Alliance and training with Dominic Cruz?
Absolutely. Being over here, definitely, I hit a milestone here. You know, I hit a big curve, you know, a big learning curve at that. You know, a lot of things that I didn't know about the sport, you know, and just how to really just be cerebral and see things, you know, that I didn't see before I came here, has changed, you know. So definitely, you know, having guys who like Dominic Cruz and Jeremy Stevens and Phil Davis and, you know, these guys around, you know, here at Alliance has been extremely helpful in my development. And look for me to only get better, you know.
Was it hard at first because you came, like, from a wrestling background and you didn't know anybody, like – were they accepting at first, or at first did you kind of have a mark on you?
You know, they welcomed me with open arms, you know. It was definitely interesting, you know. Coming from a wrestling background, you know, where everybody's grinders, you know, and you got 10, 20 guys in the room just grinding, you know, grinding hard day in and day out, all trying to be a national champion, you know. And when you come to a gym, which is the same way, they're all trying to be world champions. It just put things back in perspective for me.
Now, when you came to my show, we hung out. Are you still with that girl, by the way?
Yes, I'm still with my girlfriend, man.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Beautiful girl. I mean, what an ass. Holy shit. Good work on that, by the way. But no problem. Now, when you came, you were like a foot taller than me. And then you fight at 135. Like, do you cut 100 pounds for each fight? I mean, what do you walk around at?
Yeah, you know, I had a good time at the show, too. So,
best comedy show I've been to ever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very cool. I definitely look forward to coming to another one. I seen you over at the Dime, out in L.A. So I'm out there in L.A. sometimes, so you got to let me know when you're doing some stuff, you know? But yeah, the World Cup is... It's like a weight cut before the weight cut, you know. I got out of camp weight, I got in camp weight, and then I got fight weight, you know. And out of camp weight for me is walking around at 180, you know. And then when I'm in camp, you know, I get down to 155, you know. And then
wow,
time to fight, you know. When it's time to fight, obviously I got to make 135. So it's like it's a weight cut before the weight cut, you know. It's a process, you know, but it's doable.
How hard is that last 10 pounds?
That last 10 pounds for everybody sucks, you know?
Yeah.
That last 2 or 3 pounds is the worst, you know? It's like, man, I'm doing everything I can, but I'm not even sweating. But honestly, my last fight, the first time I made 135, even scratch, I did it the right way, you know? I knew I had to do it the right way to make 135. I hadn't been 135 since junior year of high school, you know, so I knew I had to do the right things, and it just made everything a little bit smoother.
Now, your high school record, you were a 3-time state champ of Jersey. You had a record of 146-4, which is insane. And then you went to NC State. Why did you pick NC State?
NC State just had an awesome program. It was a fun environment, a pretty chill environment, you know. At the time, they were talking to when we were, you know, talking about me coming, you know, when Carter Jordan sat down at my house, you know, he expressed that he's let me go ahead and attempt to make the football team and try out for the football team, you know. Unfortunately, when I got to college, you know, wrestling was so demanding. It was just, it was a 24-hour, you know, job, you know.
Yeah.
It was almost impossible for me to really want to focus on anything else besides wrestling, because it was, like I said, it was so demanding and it was fun. I knew I loved wrestling, you know. I knew I could be a national champ, you know. And so that kind of just really kept me in the path of wrestling.
Right. Well, I mean, you did great. I mean, you were the national champion. You won the best award in wrestling your junior year. You beat Brett Metcalf, which was like a guy that he had teched you earlier, right? He beat you by 16 points, 15 points earlier in the season?
Yeah, 15 points. So it was about a 21 point, you know, swing, if you would say, you know, from the course of the beginning of the year, you know, I would say my out of camp weight, you know, when I was pretty much out of camp, you know, if you can put it in terms like that, you know, beginning of the year, it was an all-star match. He was supposed to wrestle Bubba Jenkins. Bubba Jenkins got hurt. They called me up the week of and said, hey, you want to wrestle this guy? I'm like, of course I want to wrestle him. I beat him before. You know, the year before, I had pinned him in the Spado, and he had won a national title. I lost to Bubba in the semis. He wound up beating Bubba that year in the finals. And so that just left this allocation. I'm like, a guy that I had beat already, where I pinned at that, was a national champion, and I was sitting in the stands watching. So I stepped up and took the bout on short notice, and then he wound up giving it to me. He did his job, you know. He pretty much taxed my ass, you know. So that right there put another sour taste in my mouth. I'm like, oh man, I got to do more. So I made it a point to really focus that season and make sure that didn't happen again.
Well, it didn't, and you beat him in the finals when it counted. Now, back after you're winning, you're up by like I think 10 or 12 points. You start doing backflips, and then he pushes you, and then a fight almost ensued. It was almost like a brawl. Do you kind of wish you would have decked him, or you were like, fuck it? You're kind of happy that you know.
Absolutely. Look, if I knew I was going to be fighting rather than attempting to make it a rugby team at that time, I probably would have stole off on him. I probably would have broke his jaw, you know. So
well,
he caught me off guard, but you know, early in my career, I wanted him to make that transition as well, so we can have a fight, you know. But he wound up, you know, sticking with wrestling I never got my hands back on him, but
right. Right, but then you also after one of your fights you against
what? Took that dude out.
That guy's a dick, but he's a great wrestler. But then in one of your fights you did a backflip off the cage, hit the camera woman. You almost killed her. Are you kind of done with backflips now, or are you still committed to these backflips?
Absolutely not. I'm still going to backflip. You know, it's not going to be it's not going to be on the cage or off the cage, but I'm definitely a backflip type of guy when I celebrate, you know? So expect me to do a backflip, you know, whenever I finish a guy, you know?
Right.
A win for me is a unanimous decision win, or just a win in general, you know, like without finishing a guy, to me, really isn't a win, you know? I got to finish these guys. I got to put them to sleep. You know, I got to tap them out, you know?
Right.
Anytime I get a finish, you know, you're going to see a backflip. You know, I might start a backflip challenge. Start doing backflips off everything. They're doing backflips off cars and houses, apartments, you know, just to prove my point.
That would be amazing. Now the one loss you have on your record, you were beating up Joe DiMaggio. You took kind of a sloppy shot. I hate to say it's a sloppy shot, but it seemed kind of a little sloppy. And you got caught.
That's a fact.
Do you think that was the best thing that happened for you?
I think that was the best thing that could have happened to me. You know, had it not happened to me, I wouldn't have ran into the likes of Dominic Cruz and Eric Alfiero. You know, I feel like they've been a tremendous part of my growth in the last 2 years, you know. So and I think I'm growing a lot faster than maybe I would have had I not taken that out.
Yeah, no, I mean, and like you came back and then you beat him. You came back and beat him. Although a couple times you put yourself in situations where I was like, oh no, please don't let it happen again. You were kind of playing with fire in like the rematch too.
Absolutely. yeah, man. So that second fight, I really didn't focus on myself. You know, I kind of focused on, you know, what he did and how to stay away from it, you know. So I feel like if that fight were to happen again, I'll definitely finish Joe.
Now, what's your, as far as contract-wise, how many fights left do you have under the Bellator contract?
Well, once I became champion, it extended a few fights. So I still got a few fights in Bellator, but, you know, Bellator is my home, you know. I don't see myself anywhere else, you know. I would like for some sort of, like I said earlier, you know, some sort of emergence where, you know, I could fight the champ here at Bellator, fight the champ for the UFC. So I'm sure the UFC won't want to do that, you know, because they already know the outcome. They know who's the best in the world at 135.
How do you think you would do against TJ Dillashaw?
Against who?
TJ Dillashaw.
I will sleep TJ. He's just too small. These guys are too small for me. They don't got any work. TJ, he's got a lot of bark. He's got a lot of fire in him, but he doesn't have what it takes to beat me.
You said you would sleep him. Like you would knock him out.
I would sleep TJ.
Wow. And then what about Cody Garbrandt?
I sleep him too.
Look at this.
These guys are they got a lot of rah-rah, but you know, when I see them, when they see me, they already know the deal. Like, ain't nothing. They don't want this work.
I honestly do think that Bellator, and I like Bellator. I've worked for Bellator before, but they got to do a better job promoting you, because I honestly think that you probably are pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world. I would put you at top five pound for pound right now, but I think that you should be their poster boy. Because
I haven't had that fight where guys are like, oh, it was a war. Like, for instance, that Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler fight, that was a fight everyone's gonna see, you know, to the end of time. You know, that's a fight that made history. That's gonna make history forever. So I feel like once I'm in one of those fights, you know, people will see. But you know, I think the problem is, you know, I just make it look so easy that it's not gonna ever really be that way, you know. So it's hard to tell. But I do believe Bellator is doing their best, you know. give me a platform, you know, to showcase my skills. And I think it's just a matter of time until people realize I'm the best. I'm the best pound for pound, period.
Now, you fight against Higo. You can't overlook this guy. Very dangerous guy in front of you.
Absolutely. He's very dangerous. You know, he poses a lot of threats, but nothing that I've not seen before, you know. Look for this guy to be sleep on a canvas come March 2nd. Either that or he's going to tap, so.
I love it. Now, did you give any advice to Aaron Pico when he came in?
Yeah, man. Aaron Pico is doing the right thing. You know, he's on the right path. I think he's a great fighter. Just keep doing what you're doing, you know. He's a great wrestler. You know, he's transitioning well into the sport. So as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, he's got a huge upside.
There's a couple guys. I mean, Ed Ruth, Tyrell Fortune. I feel like they need to be pushing these guys more. You know, they're pushing. I mean, like the Bellator heavyweight tournament's fun and all, but I really think you, Ed Ruth, Pico, even MVP, that's the future of the sport. Guys like that.
Absolutely. Well, I think those type of topics, you know, they bring viewers. You know, that's who people know. That's who the MMA world knows. And so if they get us on these cards, you know, they'll see, like, okay, these guys are the up-and-comers. These are the vintage Vanderways, the vintage, you know, Ken Shamrocks and such. So I think they're doing a good job at promoting us. And
hello? I think I lost him.
Yeah. No. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I think it's only a matter of time until we do a or the world realizes, you know, that we are the vintage.
Yeah.
Hugo Ortiz and Ken Shamrocks, you know, so it's only a matter of time until the world realizes.
Well, the diehards know it. The wrestling fans especially know it. The guys who are, you know, amateur wrestling fans. I mean, like, I was so happy when they signed you. I was so happy when they signed Bubba, even though Bubba went his own direction. And I was happy when they find, you know, Ruth and Tyrell Fortune and some of these other guys, you know, are going to be, they're going to be stars. And you're right. Eventually, people will catch up. Just like me with my comedy. Eventually, Netflix is going to be like, all right, give this guy a fucking special. So
Absolutely. Our backgrounds are different. You know, our paths are different, you know. So we just got to continue to grind, and we can't be denied, you know. It's as simple as that, you know. Our work, we can't be denied.
I love it. Now I'm like ready to go run right now. Well, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Darion. I will be looking forward to watching you next Friday night, headlining the Spike card. The champ is here, Darion Caldwell. Thank you for everything, man.
All right, thanks, Adam. I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you, buddy.
Take care.
We got
the champ in the house. See, look at that. How cool is that? And like, he's right. You can't be denied. People, do yourself a favor. Watch Darion Caldwell. The guy is the future, especially with Dominic Cruz now training him. Ugh, that's scary. Scary how good that guy could be. Unlimited potential. Unfucking limited potential. So anyway, people, that is the end of the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I will tell you where I'm going to be at. Here's where I'm going to be at. In the meantime, make sure you... check out if you live in California and you want marijuana, speedweed.com. Speedweed.com. They got the best stuff. Just use code ROASTED. And in the meantime, this week. Okay, so I will be this Friday night, which is tomorrow night, at the Ha Ha Comedy Club. The Ha Ha Comedy Club is located in North Hollywood on Lancashire. I will be hosting, I think, the 8:30 show, and I'll probably be hosting I'll be on the 10:30 show as well. I'm pretty sure. Make sure I'm on one of those shows, but I'll tell you where I'm at. Next Monday at the Dime Bar in Hollywood, the Dime. That's my spot. Next Tuesday, Laguna Beach. So Shan and Jerry and all you guys better show up there. Laguna Beach at the Skyloft. Then I will be at the South Point Casino next Friday at 12:30 at night. Then the following Thursday to Sunday, that's the 8th to the 11th, I will be in Syracuse, New York at the Funny Bone. In Bakersfield, my man who hit me up, Sid Vicious. Yes, Bakersfield, Friday on the 16th. I'll hook you up with comps. Sid who hit me up. Then I will be at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento, California, April 4th. The San Diego Comedy Palace, the 13th to the 14th. Hopefully I'll see my boy Caldwell there. And Harvey's, Portland, Oregon, April 27th to the 29th. And then Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club, May 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And then the House of Comedy, May 9th to the 13th in Minnesota at the House of Comedy. So listen, people, thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you guys all have great weekends, and God bless, and love you guys. Bye. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Даа дөр булаа мөрөө.